Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome to another edition of Friday Funk, the Shane's Meat Live Edition with Shane Reardon.
This is the ultimate steak sandwich. You want the Rolls Royce of beef.
Must eat beef.
It has to be fillet.
That roast beef is capital T tender, man.
Today, we're going to use lamb. I know you're all out there going, lamb. Lamb is a great, great flavor.
Friday Funk.
That is so much flavor. Sweetness of the ham, that briny, pickly spice on the corned beef, and then just a nice smoky flavor from the pit beef.
So much steak. Lungs filling. Sinus is back with me.
Friday Funk. The Shane's Meat Live Edition.
Oh, charred and moist, like Satan's burps.
On the Dan Bernstein Show.
Nice! Live from Chicago, it's Shane's Meat, and it's brought to you by Grand Appliance MTV. Grand Appliance is committed to serving Chicagoland during these unprecedented times with industry-leading delivery and in-store safety measures. Memorial Day sale pricing and an extra 5% back on most appliance purchases. Shop GrandAppliance.com for offer details. Grand Appliance, trusted since 1930. What is this music bed? This is bitchin'.
Stone Temple Pilots. It's called Meat Plow. Meat Plow. Very appropriate.
Perfect.
Thank you. And I don't even eat meat. I had to deal with all those meat sound bites for Shane Reardon.
More appropriately.
Thank you, Ray.
You could do it objectively. Yeah, this is good. That's like workout music there. I like that. All right, Shane, are you ready to go, man?
Let's go, baby.
We should do this. Before we grab a couple calls, the wings that you were tweeting about a couple of days ago, maybe it was over the weekend, were these smoked wings?
Are we talking about the
making?
Croatian ones or the regular smoke wings that I did?
I wanted to know about both. What are Croatian wings?
So Croatian wings, it's more so the sauce. The honey that I use is a Croatian honey, and it's Joe Flam's recipe, season 15 winner of Top Chef. He is opening a Croatian restaurant when all this calms down. And it's a blend of Croatian honey and a Croatian smoked paprika, literally from Croatia. So that's the only thing that makes them Croatian. But like the key with wings, people don't really take the time to treat a chicken wing, which is, you know, thought of as just a cheap value cut. Take the time, put them in an air rack overnight in your fridge. And for every pound of chicken you have, add 1 tablespoon of salt and 1 tablespoon of baking powder. Toss it in there. Let it dry out in your fridge overnight. And it's the key to a crispy, crispy wing. But the sauce itself was Croatian, so that makes them Croatian. Also, the chicken I had imported from Croatia.
All
right. Why don't we grab some callers here? And again, open to anything, whether it is you want to offer a thought for something awesome that you made, or if you have a question, if you got plans for the weekend, cooking some sort of animal, and you just want us to weigh in on it. Let's start with Jim in the Loop on the Score on Shane's Meat Live.
Yeah, I'm Colin. I want to know if you cook with sous vide at all. What do you think of that?
Stop it, Jim. I feel like this is... I go on the anti-sous vide crusade on social media all the time because it's cheating. Sous vide is cheating. You're boiling your meat in a plastic bag, and it can't overcook. You can keep it in there as long as you damn well please, and the temperature, whatever you set your sous vide prong to, if you want it to 128 or something like that, you put it in the boiling water, and it just goes there. Then all you got to do is sear it off. All you got to do is put your package of seasoning in the bag with it, and you can't mess it up. It's cheating. I will not sous vide.
So the wrap on it is that it's the perfect way to do it, then, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Right. Just so I understand what you're saying, you hate it because it makes perfect food.
Exactly. I like the element of the human element of surprise and, hey, I could mess this up. Let me try to use a little bit of skill here. So, Jim, you go ahead and ruin your life, but I'm not going to do it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, I don't have the patience for it. No. My problem is, first of all, for me, cooking meat is the fun of it, is the tactile looking, hearing, having the tongs out and saying, well, maybe this spot of the grill is good for this piece right now. Yeah. And I know I always fight the instinct. I know you shouldn't move things too much, and that is a common grilling mistake. But that's the joy. See, to me, sous vide sucks the joy out of it.
Yeah. Yep. Totally agreed.
Patrick in Joliet, you're on the Score. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, how's it going? I need brisket advice. I'm trying to replicate the antique taco at Sox Park, the brisket taco. So good. Any advice you can give would be great.
What equipment do you have, Patrick? Are you working in an oven? Are you working on a charcoal Weber kettle? Do you have a smoker?
So I got just a regular gas grill and, you know, an oven I can work with. Whatever you can, yeah, nothing fancy. I don't have a smoker.
Okay,
yet.
So let's step it down a notch. Do you have a Dutch oven to go in the oven, or do you have a crock pot at the bare minimum?
Yes, I have a crock pot.
What about a Dutch oven?
I do not.
Might be worth a $25, $30 purchase of a Dutch oven.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, give me Dutch oven.
I only have one. Okay, so...
Give me the Dutch oven advice.
Okay, Dutch oven advice. How many pounds is your brisket?
I haven't picked it up yet. You tell me what I need.
Okay, so let's go with a 5-pound brisket. You're looking at about 2.5 to 3 hours until the brisket is tender in your Dutch oven. The oven temperature should be about 275 degrees. But the very important part to get the flavor of the brisket is you have to trim the excess fat off. If you're going to get a freeze-packaged brisket and it's not fresh, it's probably not trimmed. So there is an element of silver skin on there, and there's a heavier fat cap that you're going to want to take off. In that Dutch oven, you want to build a flavor. So before you even put the brisket in, you're going to sear it off on all sides, get that nice and browned, and then just with a little bit of oil and a diced shallot and some garlic cloves, let that render off and let those things become aromatic before you then put your brisket in with maybe some beef stock and a little bit of red wine if you like to. Treat it just like a pot roast. Since you're not smoking it and we can't accomplish those flavors via a Dutch oven in your oven, treat it like a rump roast, a pot roast, a chuck roast, a pork shoulder, whatever you want. Just you need to introduce those flavors of red wine and beef stock and onion and garlic. It's not going to have that smoke. You could add like liquid smoke. I don't work with it often, but it's something you can get at any grocery store. But that's your best bet. I would go 4 or 5 pounds on the brisket and then 2.5 to 3 hours at 275 in your oven. But check on it often. You know, once it starts pulling apart with a fork is when you know you're good. Take your time with it, though. Low temperature.
Sounds great. Thanks.
That sounds really good. And, you know, I have found that the versatility of braising liquids, it's really hard to go wrong. Because for whatever reason, that slow cooking, braising meat, it's I don't know if it's cheating, but it tends to get the best out of whatever you put in and minimize anything that might not be as good. And it's why I discovered when I'm making chili, I know you made fun of me for this, but
dark beer or stout, and actual coffee. Actually, I like to make a literally day-old coffee that I use in my chili imparts that smoky mole-like quality. So if I were doing a brisket for tacos, and you were braising it in that regard, I would definitely add some coffee in there to if I'm needing to get some of that smoky texture.
Yep, I agree with you there. Or the liquid smoke. I just don't work with it often.
Mike is in Franklin, Wisconsin, and he's on the score. It's Shane Reardon, and this is Shane's Meat Live.
Hi, Dan, Shane. Love the show. I was wondering if you guys have any recommendations for cookware. It seems like all the nonstick stuff I buy wears out very quickly, and I was just wondering what some of your favorite cookware is.
I have lots of recommendations for cookware. So the simplest that you can do is just a large cast iron pan. Get yourself a couple variations, an 8, a 10, and a 12. Very cheap. You can get a 3-pack for like 50, 60 bucks if you get it at the right time. And then it's just a key of taking care of it. You need to take care of your cast iron. Don't introduce it to soap. Don't introduce it to excess moisture. When you're cooking, don't introduce it to a lot of acidity. You don't want to do a long tomato sauce or a quick flambé with like lemon juice and a white wine. You don't want to do that a ton in a cast iron. That's your cheapest option. Step up from there is a material or company of a pan called All-Clad. So All-Clad is like a $50, $60 pan for a 10 and 12 inch. It's just, it has that nonstick quality, but it's dishwasher safe and it's very thick and it holds and retains and distributes heat very similar to that of a cast iron. I've got a few All-Clads. I've got my trusty 4 or 5 cast irons and then my Dutch oven. All can be purchased cheap. You don't have to go and spend $200-$300 on stainless steel All-Clad. That's your best bet. Forget those nonstick pans that you can get at Walgreens and Jewel and Mariano's and just your standard grocery store. Spend the extra couple bucks, 50, 60 bucks for a 2-pack of All-Clad on Amazon and get yourself a good trusty cast iron from Lodge.
312-6 Oh, sorry, Denise, you're still there. Thank you. 312-644-6767. That is the number for WSCR, the score, if you want to jump in and talk about what we're talking about here. I wanted to ask you, Shane, too, because, look, the prices are going crazy for meat right now because of everything that's happening at the processing plants. And there's been some inconsistency in pricing. And I know it's one thing that people do is tend to gravitate to less expensive cuts, where when you mention braising, if you do have the patience for it, it's a great way to kind of mad scientist your way into some really flavorable stuff. What is your favorite less expensive cut?
The hanger steak, by far, is you can get it for $7.99, sometimes $8.99 a pound at Mariano's. It's basically a muscle that sits above the esophagus in the front chest cavity of a cow that literally just hangs there and does absolutely nothing. It does nothing. It doesn't work for anything in the cow. It is the most tender. A lot of places call it the chef's cut because in the old days, the butchers would keep it for themselves. And a 400 or 500 pound cow, that only gives you like 1.5 to 2 pounds of hanger, but still it sits at $7.99, $8.99 a pound, depending where you get it. Beautiful, tender, fatty, nicely marbled cut. From there, just a standard chuck roast. A lot of the times at Jewel, you can get chuck roast for either $5.99 a pound, $3.99 a pound, or buy one, get one on some of their deals. And pot roast sandwiches, I tweet about them often. I've nailed down the recipe to a pot roast sandwich. Absolutely beautiful. We talk about the braising in the Dutch oven and then taking it out and crisping it up on the stovetop. And then bone-in, skin-on chicken thighs. Bone-in, skin-on chicken thighs you can get for $1 a pound somewhere, $1.99 a pound some places. There are so many things you can do with chicken thighs, bone in, skin on, so much flavor, absolutely packed with flavor. Anything that you cook with chicken breast, please right now immediately replace that with chicken thighs. Never cook a chicken breast again. I will find your house. Never cook a chicken breast again.
You know what I love? I love barbecuing leg quarters.
Mm.
The drumstick and thigh together, not disconnected, and just doing those. Somebody gave me the best advice for barbecue chicken that I've been doing wrong for so long. They said, if you have a gas grill, instead of you can do indirect heat on a charcoal grill, but if you have a gas grill, turn it on, get it hot, and then turn it down halfway, like literally set medium. Salt and pepper on the chicken, skin side down, and with don't close it, leave the grill open, and walk away for a half hour. Walk away. And don't sauce it, don't season it. Walk away for a half an hour, come back, turn it over, and walk away for another half. And then come back. Then you can turn it up a little bit if you want to crisp it up a little bit, because I like some of the char one. And then you can mop it, you can sauce it, you can do whatever you want. But just dry ingredients, half an hour on medium one side, half an hour medium on the other, life-changing. And with the inexpensive chicken leg quarters, it is one of the first couple of bites of that, once you get through that perfectly charred skin, just incredibly satisfying.
That sounds gorgeous.
It's so good. It's so easy, too. But you're right. I had to learn. I was wrong about chicken. I guess I grew up wrong. It was always like, oh, white meat, or it's an extra charge for all white meat. Yes, I would like a fibrous block of chalk. Yum.
Horrible. My mom used to, you know, my parents grew up. My parents are similar to your age, only a couple years older. They grew up, you know, you had to cook your pork chops at 195 degrees.
Yes.
You couldn't enjoy anything. And now we finally learned from the FDA, my pork chops are cooked at 140. You can have a little pink and everything. Don't be afraid to get sick once in a while. It's worth it.
I remember once saying to my mom, I made my roasted chicken. And she's like, wow, how do you get it so juicy? Like, I don't overcook it.
I don't cook it for nine hours, Mom.
Right, exactly. Love you dearly. But there was always a thing of being terrified by some pink on a bone. Like, yeah. I don't eat the bone. If I were eating the bones,
don't?
I might be worried about that. But I don't. Okay. I mean, look. I do know some people of a certain age who would crack the chicken bones and eat the marrow out of the bones. That's when you know you were a child of the Depression or raised by children of the Depression, when you were doing stuff like that. We've got more callers. We've got more calls. We have another segment of Shane's Meat Live, and we're going to do it. Whatever you got for us. You want to ask a question? You need a little bit of advice? You want to share a recipe? We're all going to be cooking this weekend, because that's what we do now in our homes, and it's fun and it's good. So crank it up. We got more to come on The Score.
This is Chicago's number one sports station, dominating Chicago sports talk for nearly three decades. 670 The Score is Chicago sports. Chicago sports is 670 The Score. Radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago sports station.
Welcome back to Friday Fung.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
Well, then my man meat he shall have.
Friday Fung, the Shane's Meat Live Edition.
Nice meat you got there.
On the Dan Bernstein Show.
Why, thank you. Shane Reardon is indeed today's executive producer, so we figured why not, going into Memorial Day weekend, to talk some meat. And I'm looking at some of the texting response here saying that this is phenomenal. I am very hungry and slightly aroused. Yeah,
good.
There's Same. Definitely, as you can tell from the produced aspects of this, there's clearly some homoerotic subtext going on here.
Bring it on.
Not going to apologize for it. Rudy says, "I finally get this stimulus check, and now I'm going to the butcher shop to spend it all. Jerks! I'm
Hell
so
yeah,
hungry
Rudy,
now.
Bring me some."
Yep, says I'm ordering everything. The phone lines are open at 312-644-6767. I want to double back and touch on something you mentioned about removing the silver skin.
Mm-hmm.
That, depending on the cut of meat you get, especially if it comes from around the plate, if you're talking about skirt steak, you know, hanger steak has a big tendon down the middle. Proper butchering matters, and especially if you're going to be marinating skirt steak, it's really important to get that as much of the silver skin off as you can. If you're doing a flank, which I love, I grew up on whole flank steak, and what my mom used to do was, against those big grains of abdominal sinew, is the very light scoring of doing an X cut on the bias there, not deeply into the meat, but just enough to allow your marinade to penetrate. So for some of those, it makes a huge difference if you're doing a wet marinade to try to get the meat prepared properly. in Woodridge. It is Mitch, and Mitch is on the score. Friday Fung, Shane's Meat Live. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, boys. Happy health to you.
You too.
Got a quick question here. I'm cooking for four, so I got a couple burners going. I got my garlic Parmesan green beans on one burner. I got mashed potatoes and a sauce on another. Using my cast iron skillet to cook one steak at a time. And so it's about two and a half minutes each side. And then by the third and the fourth steak, some of that seasoning is starting to adhere to that cast iron. I didn't know if there's some special way that maybe you can kind of clear that off for that third and fourth steak.
You don't want to. Mitch, don't do it. That's all flavor right there. So that could mean that your cast iron is not seasoned properly and it's attaching to too many of those browned bits coming off your steak. It could mean that you're seasoning too much and that pepper and salt or whatever you're seasoning your steak with is coming off and burning onto the pan. But without me seeing it, it could also just be complete flavoring. So either do a better job of seasoning your cast iron skillet and cleaning it when it's done, or send me a picture at Shane's Meat on Instagram or Shane_Reardon on Twitter, and I can try to help you figure out if that's a good stuff on the bottom or if you just need to season your pan better.
Thank you.
A lot of the time it's flavor, though. A lot of the time that's just all flavor, as long as it's not burning.
And where are you, Shane, on when you do the cast iron thing of how and when to introduce a liquid or oil to be spooning it over and whether or not you got like a sprig of rosemary in there or a lot of people are using butter and maybe a splash of wine or something?
So when I'm doing a steak, I put down a little bit of neutral oil, whether that be vegetable, canola, peanut, avocado, something with a high smoke point. And the key is, you can't put that oil in there until the pan is at your desired cooking temperature. If you put the oil in there when the pan is cold and then bring the pan up to temperature, all you're going to do is burn the oil off. So I let my cast iron heat up on high heat for 10 minutes. Then I throw in some avocado or peanut oil or corn oil. And then I put the steak in. Thickness is whatever, 2.5, 3, 4 minutes, depending on the thickness. And then on the flip, I'll introduce my butter, a high-quality butter, a couple bulbs of garlic, and then either rosemary or thyme fresh, whatever I've got on hand. Do not put the dried rosemary and thyme from the little glass cylinders from the store in there because it's just going to burn. You want fresh sprigs of rosemary and thyme, and that's when I tilt the pan back toward me and start basting that butter and the rendered fat from the steak over the top for a good 90 seconds. Don't underdo that. Then when you take the steak off to rest, pour those cooking juices back over the top of it. This is so very simple to make a steak that's restaurant quality in your own home in 7 minutes. I feel like an infomercial right now, but it's so simple. I wish more people did it. Stop ordering out.
Just clean up with the sham wow when you got it right here. Kevin's in his car. He's on the score. Hi, Kevin.
I'm in a semi, but yep. And Shane is right. Hot pan, cold oil. Has to be. Shane, I got a question for you. I'm going to be grilling a goat. We have a smoker. We have gas grills. We have charcoal grills. We have a charcoal grill that is 6 foot wide and 4 foot deep. And I need to get a good dry rub for my goat.
Okay. You're looking at, I'm sticking with Middle Eastern spices here. So I'm thinking like ground coriander, I'm thinking turmeric, I'm thinking cumin, I'm thinking salt and pepper. But I wouldn't go necessarily all dry. If you have a giant cooler and you have the means to get like a crap load of Greek yogurt, I would do a little bit of a marinade with some Greek yogurt and some fresh squeezed orange juice and like the zest from a bunch of oranges, let that sit overnight, and then throw your dry rub on there. But I'm thinking coriander, turmeric, cumin, stuff like that. A little bit of mint.
What size to get? I've had real good goat, and then we've had some tough old goat.
I don't have a goat guy. I'm not sure. I would go with like the loin of the goat. That's the best cut of a goat I've had. And if you can, I'd go boneless.
Yeah.
Unless you're digging out like a trough like you would do in a spit roast for a pig, I would definitely go boneless on the goat.
Yeah, see.
Just keep it low. Keep your temperature low.
Yeah, we put the whole goat right on the grill.
I think if it's turned out a little tough in the past, I think that might be your problem. You have to introduce a low temperature and a lot of flavoring on goat. Like you want to braise it technically. You don't want to just introduce goat to high heat on a grill. You want to try to braise it. Best thing you can do is smoke it at a low temperature.
Low and slow. Got it.
Yeah, baby.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. Drive safe. Yeah, that's almost an Indian preparation that you have there, too, and you describe that particular. That's like a masala spice mix, too. And if you're going true Middle Eastern, like a Moroccan tagine would be cinnamon, too. And then you get a little bit of that. Not necessarily sweet, but just get that kind of that cinnamon aspect, too. Mm-hmm. Brad in Bloomingdale, you are on the score. Shane's Meat Live.
All right, so we go from, you know, Kevin the goat man in his truck to a new grill guy. Just picked up a single burner for my apartment, gas grill. And in the past, what I've done for tailgates is use flank steak, which perfect segue, Dan, and chop them into cut them into strips, and then just marinated them, throw them on skewers, and then cook to order for, you know, anybody that's in the party. But this weekend, I want to start trying to incorporate more of the flank steak as a whole. So any tips that you guys have for flank steak cooking? And then after flank, do you have a cut recommendation or kind of the next step in my grilling process? Appreciate it, you guys.
So Dan's specialty is absolutely flank. He talked about that. With my flank, I like a good marinade because I think flank takes a marinade better than any cut of beef there is. So you need a fat, you need a fat and olive oil. You need an acid, whether that be a red or white wine vinegar or lemon juice or lime juice, a citrus. You need a little bit of sweetness with maybe honey and then either some soy sauce or Worcestershire sauce. Let that sit overnight and then just salt and pepper. I like the honey in there a lot. I like the sweetness of the flank steak. And just go high heat. Don't be afraid to be aggressive with the heat. High heat on both sides. Flank is a very lean cut. It's not too
Don't
fat.
Overcook it.
Yes, please
don't
do not overcook
flank.
High heat for maybe 2 minutes. And then let it rest on each side. Let it rest for 10 minutes. But you really need to introduce a lot of overnight flavor with flank. It's not a cut you can grab at Jewel, bring it home, and then throw it on the grill right away. You really have to introduce some overnight flavoring.
If you want my mom's recipe that I grew up with, it was a flank steak that was lightly scored with a cross cut, salt and pepper, and then it sits in a glass Pyrex dish covered in Viva Italian dressing.
Ooh, that's special.
Right? But you know what? It gives you everything you need. You know, there's a little bit of the sweetness. You get your fat from whatever oil is in it and all of those seasonings. I'm not trying to win any contest here, but I know it was good, and I know it was enough to power my childhood. River Grove, Mark is on the score.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Can, yes.
Great show. I have a question. Have either of you ever made lamb belly? I just ordered a lamb belly online. It's 3.3 pounds.
Treated. I have.
Okay.
Is there bone in there, Mark?
No.
There's no bone in there.
So it's like an uncured lamb bacon slab almost?
Exactly.
Okay, so I've only done it with bone in, and at that point, see, lamb is different. Lamb belly is different. So you have to braise it and then remove the bone, and then there's a ton of cartilage in lamb, especially with the bone on. There may even be cartilage in there with your boneless. Check for cartilage, but you've got to braise it for
three. There is some, yeah.
There is some. Perfect. So treat it just like there was a bone in it. You've got to braise it for about 3 hours at a low temperature, and then you're not done. You then also have to either grill it or cook it on a stovetop. Otherwise, you're just going to end up with mush. Lamb needs to be introduced to a braise at low temperature in the oven for a good 3-4 hours until it's tender, but not shredding apart tender. See, it's difficult. It's very difficult. You've got to monitor the lamb. You have to check it often and then grill it or on top of a cast iron on your stovetop at high heat.
So braise it low
for
about 3 hours, but not until it's falling apart. And then finish it, let it sit, and then finish it on the grill.
Right. So you don't, like, ideally, you're going to braise it and then throw it in the fridge overnight and then finish it on the grill or stovetop the next day. I don't know a ton about, like, lamb belly flavorings, but I'd also go the Middle Eastern route on lamb and green herbs and stuff like that. But I do know the cooking process of it, and ideally, you're braising it, putting it in the fridge overnight, and then cooking it at high heat on the stovetop or grill the next day.
That sounds great. Thanks. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. I also want to get back to the previous caller was asking about other cuts of meat if he enjoys doing flank. I'll tell you something that I have never done myself, but I love it, and it's less expensive, but it needs to be cut exactly properly because if you cut it wrong, it's not going to work. And if you have a Korean store near a Korean butcher near you, I know they do it at the Jongbu market that is Kimball and the Kennedy, and you could get fresh galbi. It is a particular cut of beef short rib. It's a thinly sliced beef short rib that takes incredibly well to all kinds of marinades, and it's forgiving on the grill. Like if you go for Korean barbecue and they bring you that big tub of wood charcoal and you do it yourself and you make lettuce wraps out of it with all the panchans around it, I really recommend if you can find a Korean butcher and do galbi because it's just the flavor is just off the charts, and it's so hard to get it wrong. What would you do, Shane, if you had to advise, if you're trying something different, if and when we loosen restrictions and you're cooking for somebody and somebody's like, ooh, I haven't tried this before, what would it be?
I mean, my introduction to people with standard grill food is always a chicken thigh. I think my chicken thighs are beyond unbelievable, and I do sometimes even a 36-hour marinade on them. It just with so much lemon and so much butter skin on and everything, but you can't go wrong with just a ribeye over the grill or it charcoal specifically if you can. It's just my main thing here and my main thing when I do the little Facebook Live cooking shows for the Score and for Team Hochberg is trying to educate people on how easy this is. If you can just follow a little bit of direction and just you can make restaurant quality food at home with a little bit of heat, with a decent quality grill and just a good cut of beef. So chicken thighs, ribeyes, just simple. You can do it at home by yourself without a problem whatsoever. I think that's your next step from flank.
One last question for you here via text. The 847 says, Shane, my daughter's a pescatarian and we do a lot of shrimp. Getting bored with fried and scampi style. Any recommendations?
Bored with fried and scampi. I go scampi pretty much always with like a tequila flambe. Maybe throw it in a salad. I've been doing this arugula, like elote salad, lately with, you know, arugula, corn, a little spicy mayo, just, some avocado, chipotle powder. I would grill the shrimp skin on, then remove the skin and throw them in an elote salad with arugula. That just came in my head right now. I think that would go really well with
that. Ooh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that tonight, to tell you the truth.
That sounds great. I would give you this recommendation, too. If and when at either Mariano's or Jewel, you see the wild-caught Argentine red shrimp,
yes,
buy them.
Yep.
Buy them. It's a market inefficiency. They are better and more tasty than other shrimp. They have a lobster-like quality. The price is relatively low. I saw them for $7.99 a pound at one point, $8.99. Buy them, and they're forgiving and they're super flavorful. It's almost like a rock shrimp kind of texture to them. And I didn't really know, and I bought them just because they were there and they looked different and the price was good. And now I seek them out. So they're awesome and everything. When's the last time you did a baked shrimp Dijon?
I've never done a baked shrimp Dijon, and I don't plan on it because that sounds stupid.
Supper club style?
No. My shrimp recommendation, Mariano's Black Tiger shrimp. It's not at that price. It's like $17.99 a pound, but splurge every once in a while. Get yourself some Black Tiger shrimp. All right, get to David Haw.
Okay. You're looking
too much
of me. That's Shane, the producer, stepping in. Yeah, we're going to say hi to David Haw, talk to him about some of the Cubs stuff he wrote, and wish him a happy birthday. He's coming up next. That was really fun for Friday Funk, sending us into this three-day weekend on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots.
He scored!
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.